about why can't I have faith? Why can't I have faith? Because I think we all go through times when we struggle. We all go through times when being a Christian is really hard. We all go through times when we want to believe God's with us, but God can feel so far apart, away from us. I shared about that last week, about when God feels silent. But about 11 years ago, I had a phone call in the middle of the night, and the phone call was that my mother had died. And it's one of those phone calls I'll never forget. And when I received the phone call that my mum had died, I remember my first instinct was to call my brother and tell my brother. But then the next thing that I did was I phoned up the hospital and I said to the hospital, can I just confirm that it happened? And they said yes. And then my brother phoned the hospital as well. And the way that the hospital reacted, I got this sense that they received this as quite common. Then the following day, me and Naomi were driving down to Hereford. And as we drove down to Hereford, where my mother was, we had a phone call from the coroner, and it was all complicated stuff with to do with the death. And they phoned, and my instinct was, they're phoning me to tell me that she's not died and they've made a mess up. But it wasn't the case. And one of the stages when you lose somebody you love is denial. You can't accept it. You think, what's this happened? How has it happened? You don't understand why it's happened. And today we're remembering the fact that Jesus came back from the dead. But for the disciples, this day, however many years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, they didn't have the end of the story. They were living through the story. They didn't know what we know. So Jesus, he's risen from the dead. He starts appearing to the different disciples. And he appears to everyone. He turns up in rooms. People were celebrating. They're saying, Jesus, he's alive. It's amazing. He's alive. Fantastic. And they were over the moon. Except for one person. That was Thomas. And Thomas, who saw Jesus die, Thomas was like, I don't believe that he's alive. Does anyone blame him? Because I certainly wouldn't blame Thomas, would you? He saw Jesus die. All the rest of the people are saying, well, Jesus is walking through walls, appearing through walls. If I was Thomas, I'd be thinking they've gone cuckoo. Okay. I'd be calling up a psychologist or a doctor to say, you know what? These guys have completely lost it. And Thomas turns around in the end and Thomas says this. Thomas says, unless I see his hands and the marks of the nails and put my fingers into the nail prints and have put my hand into his side, I will never believe. If you guys are on Zoom, can I just ask you to mute yourself? Is that all right? There we go. Someone's muted.
No, please. No, you're not getting this too.
There we go.
Should we quickly hit mute? All over the place. Revenge. You're going to everywhere.
There we go. We're muted there. That was a bit crazy, wasn't it? In the middle of a sermon. I'll edit it out later. It's all right. If you can make sure you're mute, guys, that's brilliant. Cheers. So, and Thomas, when he says that, he says, unless I see in his hands the marks of his nails, and I put my fingers into the nail prints and put my hands into his side, I will never believe. And I don't know about you, but I think what Thomas says here is okay, isn't it? I think what Thomas says here is reasonable because he wants to see the reality of what Jesus coming back to life. Did it really happen? And Thomas, because he said these words, he got the nickname of Doubting Thomas. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading through lots of preparation notes and what people said about this passage. And they kept saying the same thing. Thomas, I can't believe that he doesn't believe. I can't believe he doesn't believe. And one person said this, a guy called Adam Clark. He said Thomas's unbelief, the fact that he didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, was unreasonable, obstinate, prejudiced, presumptuous, and insolent. Now, if you haven't got a clue about those words, all of those words are bad, okay? And they're saying, why didn't Thomas believe? And for me, when I look at the story of Thomas, I can't believe that so many people ridicule Thomas. that so many people say Thomas and ridicule the fact that he didn't believe. Because you know what I like about Thomas? Thomas was honest about his lack of faith. Thomas was honest about the fact that he was struggling, the fact that he couldn't believe what the other guys were believing. And I don't think that. And Thomas, when he says that, he says, unless I see in his hands the marks of his nails, and I put my fingers into the nail prints, and put my hands into his side, I will never believe. And I don't know about you, but I think what Thomas says here is okay, isn't it? I think what Thomas says here is reasonable because he wants to see the reality of what Jesus coming back to life. Did it really happen? And Thomas, because he said these words, he got the nickname of Doubting Thomas. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading through lots of preparation notes and what people said about this passage. And they kept saying the same thing. Thomas, I can't believe that he doesn't believe. I can't believe he doesn't believe. And one person said this, a guy called Adam Clark. He said Thomas's unbelief, the fact that he didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, was unreasonable, obstinate, prejudiced, presumptuous, and insolent. Now, if you haven't got a clue about those words, all of those words are bad, okay? And they're saying, why didn't Thomas believe? And for me, when I look at the story of Thomas, I can't believe that so many people ridicule Thomas. That so many people say Thomas and ridicule the fact that he didn't believe. Because you know what I like about Thomas? Thomas was honest about his lack of faith. Thomas was honest about the fact that he was struggling, the fact that he couldn't believe what the other guys were believing. And I don't think that his questions were unreasonable. I don't think the fact that Thomas was asking these hard questions was wrong. I instead think that people should embrace Thomas's questions and be a bit more like Thomas. Flick forward. Is that right, Matthew? You flick forward. There we go. There we go. And this is what I love. There we go. Flick the next slide here. And this is what happened. About 8 days later, Jesus turns up in John 20, verse 27. And this is the words that Jesus says to Thomas. He says, reach here with your finger and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not be so unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe. I don't know if you know the story of Thomas, but it doesn't actually say that Thomas put his hand in Jesus' side. Can you imagine that? Okay, you've seen Jesus die 2 weeks earlier, roughly. Jesus turns up and he's got a massive great wound in his side. And he says, right, put your hand in there. How many of you guys would do it? Some of you may do it. Okay, but it doesn't actually say Thomas did it or put your hands to there. When my daughter gets sick and she gets like a bit of blood on her, I'm always going, Naomi, where are you? Deal with it, please, very easily. Any problem is my wife's shocking with blood as well. So it doesn't really help. But Thomas here, yeah, I love the fact that he didn't actually tell Jesus what he needed Jesus to do. But Jesus knew the doubts that Thomas had. And Jesus showed up and he said to Thomas, I'm prepared to meet you where you are. I'm prepared to help you with your doubts. Now, I don't know about you, but what doubts do you sometimes have about God? Now, if you tell me that you never have doubts, can you do me a favor? Can you check that you're alive? Is that okay? Because Jesus says that all of us are gonna struggle at times. I remember, but we need to be careful with what we say to God about God proving himself. So for Thomas, he wanted to see Jesus looking aside. I remember when I was about 14, 15 years old, I wasn't yet a Christian. I was sort of looking at Christianity. I was looking at stuff. I wasn't sure if I wanted to follow it. And I said to God, God, if you are real, can you make that girl go on a date with me? All I'm going to say is thank goodness I never went on a date with her, okay? I think she'd been a man-eater if I ever did. But God had something better lined up for me with Naomi. But that was my way of doing it. So sometimes when we say to God, if you're real, prove this to me, we need to be careful of our motives. But I think Jesus' reaction to Thomas, the way that he says, put your hands into my wounds, put your hands into my hands, he shows that he was prepared to meet Thomas where he was, and he's prepared to listen to Thomas where he was. And when Thomas sees Jesus, Thomas says this, my Lord and my God, because he realized in that moment that he had seen Jesus. He experienced Jesus. I don't know how you guys feel, but I remember the moment when I finally realized that Jesus was real. I don't even remember what the pastor spoke about on the front of the stage, but I experienced him and I went, wow, I want Jesus to be part of my life. And I ran to the front. And Thomas had that experience here. And then Jesus says these words to him. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Guys, this, as I come into close, not going to be too much longer for you. But the reality is a lot of us are like Thomas. A lot of us struggle at times. We can say, God, are you real? God, are you there? Did you really come back from the dead? We can have these questions. And those questions, I believe, are okay to ask. Because Thomas asked them and Jesus answered them. And actually, I think they're important to ask. Because if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, okay, then we're wasting our time, aren't we? We may as well be down that. We couldn't be down the pub now because what do you call it? It's locked, they're closed. Okay, we couldn't be shopping or something else. Everything's closed. We wouldn't have much else to do, maybe at the park. Okay, but we would. But we're wasting our time. But if Jesus did come back from the dead, then we need to believe him because it shows he's God. But at times, faith is hard. I love this quote from Bruce Milne, who's a theologian, and he says these words. He says, faith is a battle with unbelief, at times agonizing. At times it can be really hard. And I want to say this as you finish. If you struggle at times with your faith, if you struggle to understand how the world is working, how God works, you're not by yourself. And Jesus understands your struggles. And Jesus wants to meet you where you are. I believe Thomas wanted to believe Jesus was alive. I really do. When all the other disciples were saying, Jesus is alive, I don't think Thomas was trying to be like a grumpy. He's not. I don't think he wanted to be like that. But what was in front of Thomas blocked his belief. And Jesus met him where he was. And Jesus wants to meet you where you are. Can you say that with me? Jesus wants to meet me where I am. Ready? Jesus wants to meet me where I am. And I want to just finish with these questions for you. If you're having doubts and questions, I want to encourage you to keep looking to Jesus. We sung in that last song, turn your eyes to Jesus. And I want to encourage you to keep looking to him and ask yourself, what does Jesus need to do to prove to me that he's real? You ever thought that before? What does Jesus need to do to prove that he's real? And I want you to ask yourself, how would you want him to answer that question? And what is your motivation behind the fact that you asked that question? You know, so if you're one of the young guys here and you're saying, Jesus, I want that person in school to go out with me, okay? And if you do that, then it's all answers going to be true. Some of you teenagers, I know what you like. Don't worry about it. I was once. Okay. Or the other one could be, you might be praying that, Jesus, please, if you're real, you'll give me, what is it? It's not A stars anymore, is it? It's nines. Okay. You give me top marks. You're real. Kind of not realistic. Maybe some other ones of you, you're praying that God will give you like a triple pay increase. And you're saying, Jesus, if you're true, my boss will give me my increase by 3 times. And I know that'd be quite nice, but it doesn't mean to show Jesus is true, is it? But maybe ask him, what does Jesus need to do to meet you? What does Jesus need to do to show you that he's real? And the other one is this. The next question I want to just finish with is this. Thomas had preconceived ideas about what happened with Jesus. You know, Thomas thought he was dead. He couldn't accept that Jesus might have been alive until he came face to face with Jesus. And I want to ask you the question. Are you prepared for God to change everything in your life? Are you prepared for God to smash all your preconceived ideas? In the same way that he did it for Thomas, are you open for God to do the same thing for you? And I'm just going to finish with these verses. For me, a few years ago, I was questioning God. I wasn't sure. I was only a teenager. And I was saying, God, are you real? Are you not? Because, you know, end of the day, there's lots of different religions, aren't there? And I was trying to work out which religion is true, because they all can't be correct. And if anyone thinks all religions can be correct, I'd encourage you to look at all religions. Often they tell you the opposite. And I went, God, if you're real, can you show yourself to me? I had a friend who did the same thing. A friend of mine went, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And when the pastor put this hand that said, if you want to become a Christian, come to the front. The guy said, I'm not going to the front, even though he felt God's presence. And then his chair broke and he hit the floor and he was so embarrassed that he ran to the front. Okay. God can work in different ways. But for me, I kept saying, God, if you're true, can you help me? Then I remember that night when I gave my heart to Jesus, and I don't even know what was said on the stage. But as I told you, I ran to the, when the guy said, do you want to come and give your heart to Jesus? I remember I was sitting down. Sorry if you can't see me on the camera, but I was holding onto the seat. And I remember I wanted to get up and I wanted to give my heart to Jesus, but I didn't want to let go of the seat. And eventually I let go of the seat. And I went to the front and I said to God, God, I'm giving you my life. That was, my goodness, that was nearly 20 years ago. It was 19 years ago. And the one thing I'll say now is, if people say to me, is God real? I say to them, yes. And they go, prove it. And I say, I can't. You can't prove God's real, can you? Some of you are going to tell me you can, but I'll challenge you. But I've experienced him. Jesus met me where I was. Jesus took me from a young guy who was messed up with a family life that was messed up. And he showed me what it meant to have life. And these words really helped me. Because before I became a Christian, I remember before I properly gave my heart to Jesus, I thought that I was just trying to impress God. And these verses from 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 to 16 says this. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves a fair acceptance. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe and I have eternal life. Guys, the thing I love about Jesus is that he meets you where you are. And as well as meeting where you are, he forgives you for all your failures. And then he says to you, I'm even going to throw eternal life in for the bonus. Isn't that good? Isn't that incredible? He does all that because he loves you. Can we pray? Is that all right? Let's pray. Let's stand together as we pray.